greetings, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look this morning at twins again. I think this will be twins number 21. And the identifiable characteristics will be God only recognizes his seed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that only 2 weeks have passed since I was completely paralyzed on my right side. My legs, my right hand, and it's just in the last 2 weeks, Lord, you give me grace. And the many prayers of the saints have been answered, so we ask you now to be with us in this service, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'll try to slow down. You may be seated. I'll try to slow down, because if I go too fast, I sound like a babbling fool. So, anyway, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. And God only recognizes his seed. So today we're going to talk about seed of God, because God only looks at his seed. Gail, it's good to see you. God only looks at his seed. He doesn't pay any attention to what's going on in the world, so we shouldn't. He doesn't pay attention to the unbeliever. He only pays attention to his children. You know, and we should ask God for, you know, I don't care if it's the simplest task in life, to wipe your rear end. I'm sorry, but this, you know, it sounds bad. But you should ask God, and he will help you. It's like a child. I've always said a child asks their parents to, you know, when they're young enough, they ask their parents to wipe themselves. And so, you know, just everything. We shouldn't be so proud, because, you see, not one of his children has escaped. I mean, we have trials, every one of us. And his oldest son, Jesus, was crucified. All right? Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. You know, just one after Brother Branham laid his last week in the car after the car crash in a miserable condition, suffering. Brother Vail suffered for a long time with his prostate cancer and his stomach cancer. We just look one after one after one. And what God means by all this, David had a stroke, Psalm 39:10. Job had a stroke, 23:2 in Job. Ezekiel tells us why we had a stroke, and that is to get our desire of the eye off. Okay? Now, what is your desire of the eye? It's different for everybody. Some people it's a football game. Some people it's a woman. Okay. Some people it's this and that. But this vessel is not the vessel you will be with eternally. You will be with a different vessel, 16 to 20 years old, never will know hunger, never know pain, never know anything. So this stroke is a blessing from God, because it gets my eyes off of the things of the flesh. And it gets my eyes totally. You know, I've been teaching for 2 years now, get your eyes off the vessel, get your eyes on the God of the vessel. So 1 Corinthians 8:2, we read, "And if any man think that he know anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Why? Because he knew us before the foundations of the world. Now, this is very important, because it says God knows us, so you can't get away from election and the foreknowledge of God. And by the way, I want to thank our brother and Brother Nathan for filling in, and it's just wonderful to see the brothers come together. Well, in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose, his purpose. There's your election again. And then we read on, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So if there's many brethren, then that means there's many brethren. That's what the Bible says. Now, I know that others don't teach it this way, but Jesus is the firstborn, and he has brothers. He said, when he was raised from the dead, he said, "Touch me not, for I must ascend unto my God and to your God, my Father and your Father." That's what he told the woman. So we know then that God is our Father. And so, again, we see the predestination of God again and the foreknowledge of God again. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also glorified, justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So we already have, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that we already have a body waiting if we happen to shed this flesh, which I can't wait to get out of here. All right, so again, we see all about God. We know that, look, God knew in advance. He saw us before the foundations of the world. We were in him as seed in him before the foundations of the world. So that takes us to Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him or in his presence in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Notice there's an adoption that takes place. Now, Paul says the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. So we don't know. A brother wrote to me this week and said, all right, will all adopted children go in the rapture? Yes. Yes. Now, he also said, will all Holy Spirit, people that have been baptized with the Holy Ghost go in the rapture? I said, no. Brother Bram said, no. He said, unless you're gene seed of God, you will not go in the rapture. That means that the anointing is on the flesh. It's not on the soul. All right? So, wherein he hath abounded toward us in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, the therapists keep telling me to slow down, because when I slow down, I speak more definitive. However, I've always spoken fast. And so forgive me if I slur a little bit, but that's just who I am. I just speak fast. So that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, here's the thing. All right, first of all, I'll just say this. Even though I've always spoken fast, my brain has sped up since the stroke. And I have to slow it down in order for you to understand. Because it's like speed reading. You can read through a letter in just a second or two, or a page in a second or two, but it won't be clear to everybody, all right? Only those who know how to speed read. So neither will my voice be clear unless your mind is also wired like mine. It just goes fast. So, all right. Now, from the Message Communion, Brother Bram said, in the book here and the spot, there was talking about the two books being one, the book of life. The first book of life coming up was when you were born. That was your natural birth. Now, I just want to pause right here and just say, there's a lot of preachers came to Brother Branham. They said, there's an error in the book. And he said, where is it? Well, it talks about the two life, or the two books of life. And Brother Branham said, well, just a minute. They are, that's everything in that book is thus saith the Lord. Well, right here from communion, his last message, he says in the book here, the spot there was talking about the two books being one, the book of life. You see, before the foundations, you had the book of life, you had God's book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and you had Adam and Eve. Then you had the serpent. If I were to draw it, it would look like he was peeing in the in the stream of life, but it's not. It's his seed going into the stream of life through Eve. So he interjected another life, okay? So everything in your life is like a book, and you should take it chapter by chapter and enjoy it. You know, it's nice to know the end from the beginning. That's kind of the way I read books, because I don't like surprises. And just like the Bible, I don't like surprises. So I read the end from the beginning, and I know that I will be there. So anyway, the first book of life coming up was when you were born. That was your natural birth. See, but then one time, way down in there, there was a little germ of life, as I've explained to some of the young sisters at the house this afternoon. Now, I don't know how he explained it, but he did. See, there's a little grain of life laying there, which you'd wonder, where did it come from? What these strange things? I was saying this, taking my for myself, and was going to say William Branham, well, 40 years ago, the William Branham this and the same one tonight, and somebody back there would say he was a rank rascal. See, because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham, in their nature I was a sinner. I came to the world a liar, and all the habits of the world laid right in me. But down in there too was another nature present, predestinated, was in there by God. In this same body, see, two natures in there. Well, I only cater to one. You see, there's a nature of the flesh and the nature of the spirit. Now, I know that people take this quote and say there's two natures in there and make it two souls. There isn't two souls. There's one soul, and that's the gene seed of God was in that soul. Now, as it grew, I grew it as a baby, da-da. First thing you know, I become a liar. I become everything else that a sinner, because I raised up that way. But down in there was a little speck of life all the time. All right. From leadership, he says, like a baby formed in its mother's womb, when the baby comes into the mother's womb by a little germ, it crawls into the egg. Now, I'll just stop again and just say this. You know, I'm struggling a little bit. You know that. It's not the normal me that you'll see. And in fact, you know, when we get our body changed, you know, I'll probably be up talking fast again. But that's just my nature. All right. But I appreciate every single person in here. And we're going to spend eternity together. And that's the main thing that counts. I've been preaching for 2 years, get your eyes off the vessel. And it was words. I experienced a month ago what those words were. And you got to get your eyes off the vessel, because the vessel means nothing to God. Because you won't live your life eternally in that vessel. It's going to be a changed vessel. No blood. No bone. It's just tremendous. And so, like I said, you know, I'm struggling here. But you're probably struggling too, because you're struggling to hear me. But it doesn't form, Brother Brown said, it doesn't form a human's, you know, first a human cell, then next a dog cell, next a cat cell, next a horse cell. It's all human cells because it's building off of an original human cell. And when a man has been born again by the word of God, predestinated to eternal life, called the elected, it'll be word of God on top of word on top of word. Not a denominational creed and then a word, or a creed and it won't work. You can't have the leaven in it. Only one eternal life. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, in Galatians 4 and 6, by the way, you should have heard me 2 weeks ago. So, anyway, hopefully you can understand. Amen? Okay. In Galatians, Paul says, and because you are sons, not you will be, you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice you were son before the Spirit came into you. So God predestinated you as sons. And we'll find that in Ephesians chapter 1. So you see, it's all about God and what He did. Not about what you did. And you're like, praise God, I was such a holy person. And I just, you know, I spoke in tongues and I did this and I did this. Hogwash. It's all about God. All right? We turn to Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You couldn't do it without God doing it for you. All right? He loves his children so much, he even wills and does for them. You talk about a father who loves his own, that he predestinates them to receive his own God life in them. Not somebody else's life. He doesn't have a wife, per se, that he created you from. So there's no chance that your other body is going to have, like, maybe the nose and the side of the head. But it's perfect. Perfect. And that's what you got, a perfect God. God has hands, he has hair, he has white hair like wool. He has the Bible says by his nose, by his nostrils, he separated the seas. God has nostrils, he has everything, and you will too. Only our bodies will be perfect, and it won't be this the vessel, because the vessel is corruptible. Let's just face it. Now, Ephesians 1:3-8. Blessed be the God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So our blessings actually began not when I became a Christian. The blessing began in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, and he did this to show his love toward us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So God has the plan. You planned your life to do certain things. I planned my life. I thought I was going into the rapture completely whole, and I'm really, when people look at me, they think I may be 50. They don't see a 70-year-old man. But inside, I feel like 70 years old. And now that I've had this stroke, I feel like, and I know other brothers who have had the stroke, and they've had a stroke and they're in their 80s. I'm glad I was in my 70s because I am changing faster. They are changing slower. I know a brother who had a stroke in 2018, and he's now getting around to where his words are fully understood by the people. I hope my words are being understood by the people. Okay. Anyway, so according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, you see, and without blame before him, in other words, in his presence, and he did this to show his love toward us, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. Notice, he made us accepted. We didn't make ourselves. He made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Now, we'll go on, and from modern events made clear by prophecy, Brother Brown said, the man who seen the vision or heard his voice never altogether understood it. In many cases, he didn't know because he's just an instrument of God. It's God's thoughts expressed through man's lips. A thought, of course, is a word expressed. God does his own choosing by his predestinated choosing. He done it in every age. He set forth the men for each age, like Moses, when he was to fulfill what he told to Abraham. Moses was born a proper child. He couldn't help being that way. He was born that way because he was born for that purpose. And so we find out that God does that in every age. God does his own choosing by his own predestinated choosing. He chooses his prophets and things for the age, fixes his nature, the man's nature, the man's style of preaching to honor the gift, and he does to meet the challenge of the day. Now, I'm so thankful for, actually, years ago, putting up the quotes for you to see and putting up the scriptures for you to see, because I have no message other than what he has already brought. The Lord himself came down with a shout. It's all planned out. There's a long period of time that we sit and we ripen. Then, you know, just like any plant, then there's a short period of harvest. It's called a season, and we have a harvest season coming up, I believe, this spring. I'm hoping this spring, because I don't want to be in this body too long. So anyway, God creates that man and sent him and his own mind. As I preached on last night, we are a germ of the gene of God. He knew that a man would be there at that age, even before there was a molecule or light or anything else. Just think about it. You know, they brag and they say, oh, the earth is 6 billion years old, or oh, the earth is 30 billion years old, whatever. I don't care how long the earth was. I know that I had eternal life because I was in my Father. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God's vindicated prophets, plural, prophets, plural. In other words, your Bible plus the spoken word, okay? Now, from the rapture, we read, don't the Bible say in the last days that there shall come false Christ, false, now, not false Jesus now, false Christ, anointed ones, falsely anointed to the word, denominationally anointed, but not to the word. For the word will bear record of itself. It don't need nothing else. It'll bear record to itself, and there will come false prophets, false anointed ones. You got my tape on that. That anoint. Or if you'd call one and say, are you Jesus? Well, certainly not. He wouldn't stand for that. You see. But when it comes to glory, I got the anointing. And it is genuine anointing. Remember, Caiaphas had it too. He prophesied. So did Balaam have it and prophesied. So that don't have nothing to do with this insight. Unless that was God's seed, his gene from the beginning, predestinated, you're finished. I don't care how much you shout, speak with tongues, run, shout, that has nothing to do with it. Like I said, I was sitting there in my hospital bed, couldn't move a stitch, but I could move with my left hand. So I got out my phone and did a search, stroke. And I found out Job had a stroke, David had a stroke. Well, I couldn't be in better company, right? So, you know, it's something that you go through. It's not something that's permanent. And it's just, so it's a trial, it's a test. Further, to get our eyes, see, we are approaching a resurrection time. Therefore, we have got to get our eyes off the vessel. This is a shock, not just to me, it's a shock to every one of you. But it's happening for a purpose. And I believe the purpose is we, as a body of Christ, can get our eyes off the vessel entirely and get our eyes on what God is doing in this hour. He's preparing his children. All right. So did Balaam have it and prophesied. That don't mean nothing to do with it, this inside. Unless that was God's seed, his gene from the beginning, predestinated, you're finished. I don't care how much you spoke with tongues, run, shout, that has nothing to do with it. You see, a cockabur can count just as much as any of the rest of them. I've seen heathens raise up and shout and speak in tongues and drink blood out of a human skull and call the devil. See, you don't. Any of them sensations and things, forget it. It's your heart in that word, and that's Christ. But it in there, and watch, it makes itself known just as it opens up like any other seed and declares itself for the age it's living in. Like I said, they are stuck in this message on God sent a prophet. They think it was 60 years ago. It's not. It's today. The change of the body is today. The resurrection is today. You know, the adoption is today. It's get your mind, get your total mindset off of 60 years ago. The prophet gave us a puzzle, I would say, that you look at it and you don't just read from cover to cover like a book. You listen to it and you hear little golden nuggets said that will prepare you for what is around the corner. That's thus saith the Lord. Now, from the rapture, Brother Anderson, so were you if you got eternal life. You were in God before there ever was a world. You are a part, a son of God, an attribute of God. He know the very age that you are coming in. He predestined you to that age to take that place. And no one else can take it I don't care how many impersonations and things you got to be there, because he knowed that you'd be there. Now, you were made manifest. Now you can fellowship with him. That's what he wants. He's longing to fellowship, to be worshipped. But remember, worship comes from the Greek word, from the English words. In the dictionary, it says worth-ship. In other words, a value, worth is a value, and ship is, two men a ship, you know, the word ship is, it means the act or condition of being. So your value is the word. Okay, that's what true worship is. You worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, but if your life did not always was an attribute of God, you're just a mimic of Christianity. See, there'll be millions and billions of them that'll just be mimics of Christianity. Now, so we go back to Ephesians 1:4 again. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us to Christ to be holy and without fault. Now, the Amplified says, just as in his love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us out for himself as his own before the foundations of the world, so that we would be holy, that is consecrated, set apart for him, purpose-driven, and blameless in his sight. Now, again, the New Living says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It should give you great pleasure. Church is not a thing where, you know, well, there's a football game on, and I think I'll stay home and watch the football game. No. We come to hear the word. And, you know, fortunately, I was mentored very well by Brother Vail to get my eyes off the vessel, and therefore I'm helping you to get your eyes off the vessel. And we see the God who began the work, he came down with a shout, is going to finish it. So we turn our eyes upon Jesus and him only. Now, again, Ephesians 1 and 4, he predestined and loved and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself, his own children, through Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind of intention and good pleasure of his own will. The American Standard says, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. The Berean Study Bible says, he predestined us for adoption as his son through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure. The Douay Rheims, which the Catholic Bible is taken from, it says, who hath predestinated us unto the adoption of children through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. The English Revised Version says, having foreordained us unto adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. The King James says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. The World English Bible says, having predestinated us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So you see, now listen, people. I may be speaking slower and trying to avoid slurring, but you don't. And now, brother, there's a brother that follows us every Sunday, Brother Ernie from Washington. Brother Ernie also slurs. He doesn't mean to, but I will see him as a young man one day. He'll be 16 to 20, just the same as I. No slurring, nothing. You know, he was poisoned by working in a nuclear factory for 20 years. He was poisoned by the nuclear. So just, he understands what I'm coming from. He understands what I'm saying. And, you know, he understands, get your eyes off the vessel entirely. So, from the Young's literal translation, having foreordained us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and then we find Hebrews 12 and 7, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So, you know, we do have chastening in this life. You know, you can't get away, if you're a child of God, from reaping and sowing. All right, or sowing and reaping. Because if you sow to the world, you will reap big time here. So that, because when we're going to the white throne, this is our white throne, by the way. We are now standing before the white throne. There, we will actually be sitting at the white throne, and others will stand before us. and we'll be the witnesses of them and say, well, you know, they did this and they did this and they did this. And so we have our part. You know, it's the saints shall judge the earth, you see. And so, but we won't go through the white throne. Your white throne is now. And you have the opportunity to make amends, to repent, and you know, and be the right kind of son. Because let's face it, that's what adoption is all about, being the right kind of son. So from the masterpiece, he said, the great Father of life, include us, Lord. If we've sinned, see, here it is. If we sin, take it away from us. See, we're standing here before the great judge. He's here. If we have sinned, take it away from us. We don't want that to be that way, Lord. It's not our intention. You see, God looks upon the heart. I'm so thankful for that, that he doesn't look at my bumbling, you know, like a bumbling idiot here, you know, speaking. He looks at the intention of my heart. And these words are the words of a vindicated prophet that I'm reading to you. So from the unveiling of God, he said, and as a Christian, I'm identified with him. Amen. I was with Noah when he went in the ark. I was with Moses when he come out of Egypt. Amen. I was with Elijah on Mount Carmel. Yes, sir. Glory to God. I was with him. When he did that, I was truly with him. I identified myself in his death there on Calvary when I died to the things of the world, to myself and all traditions. I was identified with him. Okay. I was identified with him on Easter morning when he rose from the dead. I was identified with him on the day of Pentecost when he rose, when the Holy Ghost came down like a rushing mighty wind. I was identified with him, and all that he was, I am. All that I am, he was. Amen. Being dead in him, we are identified with him. Whatever he is, I am. Amen. Whatever he is, I am. You don't realize, but that gene seed of God is God. It's part of God. Therefore, you are part of God. You are eternal. From the unveiling of God, he said, we in him, then we being in him, we are still veiled to the religious and professors of the world. See, our glory that we have and enjoying, we are still veiled to them outsiders. They think we're crazy. Now, listen, it's not crazy because you limp. Not crazy because you maybe you're missing an arm. It's you. They call you crazy because you think different. All right, that's what our glory that is veiled to the world. They can't see the glory of Christ, you see, but we do. And his values, his judgment, and his opinions we hold dear to our heart. All right, so he says, that's right. But we are in here in Christ, baptized into him, 1 Corinthians 12, into him we are partakers of this glory. And that takes us to John 17, and the glory, or the doxa, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So, his glory, his opinions, his values, his judgments are given to us so that we could be one with the Father, the same that he was one with the Father. Now, from the token, he said, then that makes him, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's how we know he lives. Because why? How do we know he lives? Because he lives. And because we know that we live is because we're like him and we're in him. And he said, because I live, you live also. I am he in Revelation that was dead and alive forevermore. And if we die to ourself and become alive in him, we're alive forevermore. And then his life in us is just like the life of anything else. It displays what he was, and that makes him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, how can anyone deny that? Don't you see dead works serve the living God by the eternal, I mean the everlasting covenant of life that was in the body of Jesus Christ, now going on to the end, I wish, displaying the token of his grace, his love, now without his token applied. All right? For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your prophets have said, we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. in John 14:7, we read, "For if ye know me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And from that time, Brother Ramsey, we are a family of God. John 20:17, Jesus said to the woman, after he was raised from the dead, he said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So he is our older brother. In John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And in John 1:12, I'm going to have to sit down for just a minute, because I'm getting dizzy. It's my blood pressure, I'm sure. I did have, at one point, 50 over 30, which almost flatlined. So,
would you like me to help you read?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and read?
Okay. We'll just read this scripture here as Brian rests there. John 20, verse 17, "Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." John 10, chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And John 1, chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And John 1, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is."
Amen. I think I'll try now, but I'm going to turn this chair sideways. And so we find that God will never recognize a false vine, even when it does good works. In Matthew 8, verse 12, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Would you just bring my walker this way and turn it around, and I'll just kind of use it to stand with. Just kind of, turn it this way.
Okay.
And that way, I kind of got, okay. All right, so, from the anointed ones at the end time, he said the true vine and the false vine had the same anointing. The water fell on both of them. No wonder he warned us it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Notice, they looked the same. They're anointed the same, but notice, by their fruit. How do you know? How do you know it is an orange? Because it's bearing a grapefruit. The vine's all right. It's living in the tree, but it's bearing a grapefruit. It isn't like the first one. And if the church says they believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and deny his power, they deny his works, they deny his word. If the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ, it'll have the life of Jesus in it. Now, see, I believe John 14:12. At the end of the service, I would like you brothers and sisters to gather around and just lay hands on me. And I believe we will see a miracle. All right? No matter if the life is pouring into it, if it isn't predestinated from the root, it'll bear grapefruit every time or something different. But if it's a predestined life of the roots, it'll bear Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it's the word coming up through the root, which he is the root, the beginning of time. All right. Now, also we find once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door and begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up unto us," he shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence you are." Now, I'm going to bypass these quotes from Brother Branham, but you can download the PDF. Basically, he's saying the same thing. I'm just going to give you the scriptures. "And when I will profess unto them, I never knew you, that word is gnosko, I never had an active participation in your life." Now, we find in Psalm 1, in verse 6. He says, the Lord knoweth, or yada, the way of the righteous. He actively participates in the way of the righteous. But when we read, we continue on, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And that word is abad, and it means they are left to themselves. Okay? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof is the way of death. Okay. Now, let me just bypass a little bit more. You can read it here. But he says in Mark 12:24, and Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. It's very important to know the scriptures for the day in which you live. From John 4:22, ye worship you know not what, but we worship what we know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And we find, again, I gave too much quotes. One thing is, my sermons, I've given too much, all right, for the last 10 years. I mean, actually, my whole ministry, 41 years. I've given page upon page, and I've given quote upon quote, just to kind of nail it down. But we don't really need that anymore. We need two or three quotes to bring home a point. And so, John 5:15-21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Again, we see this in 2 Thessalonians, seeing it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, wherein he hath come to be glorified in his saints. So he is not only in you, living in you, glorified, endoxazo. Not only is the values and assessments of God in you, but it's not in them. They reject him. All right, John 8:13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered, said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself and the Father that sent me. All right. John 8:39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, then if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. I'm going to sit down again because I'm starting to get dizzy, which means my blood pressure is lowering, too much lowering. So if the brother could read scriptures.
Okay, we'll pick up reading the scripture here. This is John 8, chapter 39, verse 40. Or we read 39, I believe. 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convince me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And with Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he hardeneth.
Amen.
Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For whom hath resisteth his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall be called the children of the living God. There shall they be called the children of the living God. And then Jude chapter 1, verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believeth not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day of old ordained to condemnation. And that's the last scripture there.
Good. Anyway, so I've learned that I got to shorten it even more because it's about 20 pages, and maybe 15 pages would be good. So what we've learned today is basically that God watches over his, but he doesn't watch over them. They are excluded from his presence. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 4 that Cain walked out from the presence of the Lord. So we see that it's his children do the same, because every seed after his own kind. So what we're looking at then is God is actively watching over us. Now, why then would he allow a stroke? It's because he did. That's all I can say. Is though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. I know that my stroke is not from diet, because my diet was actually pretty good. I mean, I did eat a pound of bacon a week, but I only ate two slices a day. And you should be able to eat two slices a day. And I only had one steak a week. and you should be able to eat that. So it's not my diet. It was, I think God allowed the test, the trial, and I realized that, you know, I listened to some brothers, a brother in particular that I love dearly, Brother Naimi Nadu, and he's from Durban, South Africa. Somebody sent me a tape, and he was preaching on the father and his relationship to his sons, and I did preach for him back in 2015. Well, I realized in listening to him that he speaks very slow, and most preachers do, except for the Pentecostals. They speak like I speak. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a son of God, and I'm learning to slow down in life, you know, and I'm getting older, and I didn't realize it because you look at the wood piles out there that I cut, you know, and I mean, I cut and chopped them up and everything else, and I lifted those 50-pound, in fact, I still got a pile. I'm going to have to when I get better, cut them as well. But anyway, and I put about 5 years worth of wood out there, and so, you know, and I was maybe thinking in my mind, hey, you know, you're actually not bad for a 70-year-old man. But I actually, today I can say I am bad for a 70-year-old man. So anyway, so the Lord is good. He's watching over us. He loves every one of you with a dear heart. He really does, John. He just loves you. And so we want to give him our life. We want to give him everything and just be his children. Love him and love each other. And that's all I have to say. God bless you in Jesus' name.